way better. That didn't feel like a Marvel movie. It felt like someone else had their hand in making that shit. It wasn't all Marvel.
I don't doubt that they will recast it at some point because they have to start making arrangements to maybe.
Man, don't nobody give a fuck about the MCU no more. That shit is super disappointing.
This is a perfect time for DC to step up.
DC ain't gonna do shit either because they fucked their own bullshit up. We can't expect nothing now. It's like, so everybody's just gonna fuck themselves.
Listen, once you lost Henry Cavill to fucking The Watcher and now ultimately not just being with them at all, like, you fucked up, bro.
You mean The Witcher?
It was The Witcher, and he's not even with them no more because they hated the fact that he was a fan and wanted authentic content. So he's not gonna be involved anymore. That shit's over.
Yeah, bullshit. It's a lot of bullshit.
Everything is fucked when it comes to popular culture. They take it if you love something from the past, and then you hear, "Oh, they're gonna remake it. They're gonna revitalize it. They're gonna make a sequel, a threequel." Mourn your franchise because it's fucking
dead. I'm mourning the Neverending Story because Disney's remaking it.
Yeah, you know that's gonna be a Willow event. Well, they're gonna try and have some type of Artax moment. That's just gonna be corny as fuck.
I ain't gonna lie. It just reminded me of an old school, like, you know, what was it again? The Lord of the Rings. And then at the end of the day, it's like, what was that movie about again? I remember the short guy Willow. His name is not Willow, but the baby, the little girl's name is Willow, and everything else.
Don't nobody remember what the fuck that shit was about.
I forgot what the fucking movie was about.
No. His name is.
Nah, his name is. I don't know. Like, what was his name? Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis. Yeah, him. I forgot his name. Like,
he's the guy that played Leprechaun.
He played Leprechaun. He played the music teacher in Harry Potter. He's done another thing. He's a okay. Like, honestly, he did a show called Life's Too Short where he does an agency for dwarves and acting, but he always takes all the jobs. And it's so fucking funny because whenever you see a major fucking movie production, it's Warwick Davis. It's no other dwarves. It's a funny show.
Damn. So he's like that. What was that guy's name? That guy that was recruiting people? Was it like a Henry? What was it? Harvey? Harvey Weinstein, there you go. He's the Harvey Weinstein of Little Guys.
I didn't say that he was raping his clients for parts.
I didn't I include that. He was that taking either.
The parts do you know from the Harvey clients. Weinstein
is a big name. Like, he's the main guy. Like, yo, you want to be a star? One of us? Like, you got to go through me.
But at this point, I feel like when you make a comparison to Harvey Weinstein, there's really only one thing that's coming to people's minds, and it's not the fact he was a broker of talent. Bro,
that's the comment Marco said 2 weeks ago. We're not even going to repeat that one.
Only Macho can repeat his comments.
Already that shouldn't even be happening.
Oh, man. I guess we'll talk about this.
So wait, this guy was killed?
Right, yeah.
He was killed, murdered, unalived. He was removed from living status. His online status is permanently offline. You know how it doesn't say, like, last game played? It doesn't say that. It just says offline.
I mean, even if he didn't get killed and we did an episode on him, he'd be dead right now. Because he would have.
You don't know that. Maybe he would have adopted a healthy diet of bacon, fatback, cornbread, and whiskey.
Bacon, fatback, cornbread, and whiskey. And how is that a healthy diet?
I don't know, but there's a man that's old as shit, and that's all he eat.
Where?
You look it up. You look it up, nigga. It's damn it exists.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's real. Look it up.
That's not bullshit.
I ain't just talking junk, nigga.
I think you are.
Nah, that's what our acronym stands for in real life, but, you know, for the sake of posterity, it's network.
look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's George Reeves.
Less work. Turn it down and listen to the experts. Gotta give a shout to the Talking Junk Network. Showing love, hosting battles, playing dope joints. The break room topics always staying on point. Never disappoint. We'll never need a makeover. We're here for the takeover like Jehovah. Talking Junk Break Room Takeover are the podcast. Dropping bomb facts on demand like Comcast. Now drop a comment whenever they're going live. Hit the YouTube channel right now and go subscribe. Peace.
Talking Junk Network.
Where entertainment lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to...
Your favorite rapper's favorite podcast.
See, this is why I like your show. You're very charismatic. You know the right things to say.
Break Room, the podcast that comes to you live every Friday night. New week, new topic, new banter. That's what you come for. Are you not entertained?
What's going on? Who gives a fuck? We are, usually, right?
Most of the time.
True.
So who's the rose for, Senor Guapo? And we see you came out the danger zone.
Yeah, that was not me. If it did that, it like defaulted itself. I don't know why it changed, but I guess I just put it because it makes sense with Senor Guapo, some motherfucker putting a rose in his mouth. And it's Cinco de Cazadores, so I figure why not. But if there's anybody for the rose, she knows who's here.
All right.
I have my shots in already. Let's go with y'all.
What kind of shots?
I'm curious, how's that? You have a Mexican corn today, bro?
Mexican corn. I'm Puerto Rican.
I don't give a fuck.
You already
know. I mean, I haven't had any corn recently, but.
Mm. Bro, it's Cinco de Mayo and the king of corn not having Mexican corn? That's fucking weird.
How the fuck am I king of corn? What the fuck is wrong?
You eat it the wrong way.
I don't eat it the wrong way. Y'all bugging.
No, not the wrong way. The Goldberg way.
The Goldberg way. Listen, I was hungry. Man. I ate some corn. Let's leave it at that. I ate corn. I didn't eat the cob. Fuck wrong with y'all.
At first.
Filthy.
With butter, right? Do you use salted or unsalted butter?
Salted butter. Salted butter makes the flavor come out better.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, it does.
I prefer my
sweet corn.
The other Mexican way. Breaded, spiced.
I'm sorry, you say fried. Breaded? Breaded?
Yes, sir.
And this fried. Motherfucker yes, said sir. He eats fried corn on the cob. You are a true American.
I'm surprised he's not fatter than me, man, eating that cob. Even I don't eat that.
Honestly, like, imagine if this man worked out. He'd probably be unbelievably ripped the way his body is reacting to the food he eats.
Oh, no. He's like his shirt. He wavy. But he
probably watched Brendan Fraser and the whale was like, man, this nigga ain't nothing.
No, I'm not too off from how he looks.
Nah, you one step away from Cloud Atlas.
Fuck you. Cloud Atlas. Fuck are you? Anybody ever heard of the Superman curse?
Superman curse?
Superman never cursed.
No? I don't know.
Not honestly. At all.
Yeah, I have. Because of the dude on the horse.
Just because. But I mean, usually curse has it.
No, like.
For more than one person.
Was the dude who got shot too?
You think about Brandon Lee?
No.
What?
What? I'm sorry. I'm getting my shot. I'm like, wait,
what's the first person you think of when somebody says that is Brandon Lee?
I remember him getting shot too.
But he wasn't.
He didn't play Superman.
No, not to play Superman. That was out of pocket. Ignore me on that one.
It's in the archives now. You won't be ignored very long.
Oh, well, it is what it is. Remember it. Don't remember it.
The Superman curse refers to a series of supposedly related misfortunes that have plagued creative people involved in adaptations of the DC character Superman in various media, particularly actors who played the role of Superman on film and television. The curse is frequently associated with George Reeves, who starred in The Adventures of Superman on television, who we will be talking about today, 1952 to 1958, and he died of a self-inflicted gun wound. Or did he? Or the...
I think it was a fucking sepulchre, but we'll see.
Or Christopher Reeve, the portrayer of the superhero in four theatrical films from 78 to 87, who was paralyzed in 95 horseback riding accident and died 9 years later at 52 from heart failure. The curse is often invoked whenever misfortune is experienced by actors and other personnel who work on Superman adaptations. So much that some talent agents cite the curse as the reason for the difficulty in casting actors in the role in live action. So these are some of the actors and some of the persons. Kirk Allen, who plays Superman in two low-budget movies, failed to find work after he later appears Lois Lane's father in 1970s. Allen had Alzheimer's disease later in his life. At the age of 88. So if he was a victim of the curse, he what? Because his career took a little dive. He didn't have no live action roles. Because after that, I don't think he fits in that. He still had a good fucking career. He ate, and he fucking died in 1999. Are you kidding me? Lee Quigley, who played Superman as a baby in the 1978 film, died in 1991 at the age of 14 from inhalant abuse. Motherfucker was huffing? All right. That one's crazy. We'll get to George Reeves in a second. We all know what happened to Christopher Reeve. Some other alleged victims are Marlon Brando, who played Jor-El in 1978 film and is cited for the misfortune he suffered in his private life, such as his son's Christian shooting of his half-sister Cheyenne's boyfriend in 1990 and subsequent five-year imprisonment. Brando's own admission in court that he had failed his son and daughter, his daughter's 1995 suicide, and his later reclusiveness. He died in July 2004 at the age of 80, 3 months before his Superman co-star, Christopher Reeve. Footage of him would later be posthumously used in 2006's Superman Returns. That's crazy. I didn't know all of that about Marlon Brando up until recently. Yeah, I knew about any of that?
Nah, not at all.
You know who Marlon Brando is?
Yeah. I've seen his movies.
Name one.
What was it?
God Help Me, Boy.
What? What you said?
Godfather.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Godfather.
Margaret Kidder, who played Name Superman's one. Love interest Lois Lane opposite Christopher Reeve, had bipolar disorder, and in April 96, she went missing for several days and was found by police in a paranoid, delusional state. Kidler dismissed the notion of a curse, remarking in 1992 interview, "That is all newspaper-created rubbish. The idea cracks me up. What about the luck of Superman? When my car crashed this August, if I hadn't hit a telegraph pole after rolling three times, I would have dropped down to 50 or 60 feet ravine. Why don't people focus on that?" Kidder died on May 13th, 2018 in Livingston, Montana. A coroner ruled her death a suicide, stating that she had died as a result of self-inflicted drug and alcohol overdose. Richard Pryor, who had previously had a drug addiction that led to a near-fatal suicide attempt, starred as villain Gus Gorman in 1980's Superman 3, but later took Superman's side near the end of the film and became a hero. 3 years later, he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. He died of a heart attack on December 10th, 2005, at the age of 65. Let's not forget, he caught on fire.
I think that's what they were talking about. The suicide attempt.
What the fuck? Trying to light himself on fire?
I don't think that was his suicide attempt. Didn't he, like, wasn't it like a pipe or something that he got caught on fire, or was he cooking?
No, he just lit himself on fire.
What the fuck?
He was probably high out of his mind and caught on fire.
It's crazy. Dana Reeve. The curse has been mentioned regarding the death of actress Dana Reeve, the widow of actor Christopher Reeve, who, despite being a non-smoker, died of lung cancer in 2006 at the age of 44.
What? Died of lung cancer, but you don't smoke at all. That's crazy. Wait,
time out. She was... Time out. I need to go back up here, bro.
You sure you're reading that right? Quick.
Reed was 52 in 2004 when he died. She was 44 in 2006 when she died. Okay. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman, sold the right to their creation to DC Comics for a relatively small amount of money in contrast to the amount of money the character has generated over the decades. Despite the repeated efforts over the course of the rest of their lives to recover legal ownership of Superman and share the immense profits that the character brought for DC, DC's copyright on the character was renewed. By the 1950s, Schuster's worsening eyesight prevented him from drawing, and he worked as a delivery man in order to earn a living. How'd he read the addresses? Or see to drive there, for that matter. Anyway, Jerry Robinson claimed that Schuster had delivered packages to DC building, embarrassing the employees. He was summoned to the CEO, given $100, and told to buy a new coat and find another job. By 1976, Schuster was almost blind and living in California nursing home. In 75, Siegel launched a publicity campaign in which Schuster participated, protesting DC Comics' treatment of him and Schuster. In the face of the great deal of negative publicity over their handling of the affair, DC's parent company, Warner Communications, reinstated the byline dropped more than 30 years earlier and granted the pair a lifetime pension of $20,000 a year plus health benefits. The first issue with the restored credit was Superman Volume 1, number 302, August 76. Siegel died in 96 and Schuster died in 92. Bro, but that ain't shit though. $2,000 a year? I mean, $20,000 a year?
They probably got strong armed.
But that wasn't 76. Hey, Google, $20,000 in 1976 is equal to what nowadays?
Information from inflation calculator.
Converted amount $20,000 base is over $100,000. So it's $106,093.50 a year. So, I mean, that's not too bad. Plus full health benefits and shit. It's not too bad. Not too fucking bad, eh? Not too fucking bad. Max and Dave Fletcher, brothers of Fletcher Studios, who produced the Paramount Superman cartoons, began to quarrel with one another, and their studio suffered financial disaster. After selling to Paramount Studios, the new owners fired the two brothers. Max died in poverty in a film industry charity hospital.
God damn.
These two are crazy. DVD crew of Superman Returns, the one with what's his fucking face? Brandon some shit. Brandon Long or some shit like that. I don't remember his fucking name, but he was in that movie Zack and Mary Make a Porno with Seth Rogen. So the curse was invoked after three people involved in the creation of Superman Returns on the DVD were injured. One of them fell down a flight of stairs, another was mugged and physically assaulted, and a third smashed into a glass window. Director Jerry Singer remarked, "My DVD crew absorbed the curse for us." And don't think your beloved Smallville out there, viewers, was untouched, because it wasn't. We all know Allison Mack, the actress who played the character Chloe Sullivan on the TV series Smallville, was accused of sex trafficking and forced human labor and was arrested in April 2018 on those charges. An article on Fox News speculated whether this was related to the curse. In June 2001, she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And that was for that whole sex cult bullshit. Okay. I don't remember what the name was.
Not an accusation. She's in jail for that. Like, that's that.
No, I know. It wasn't an accusation. She is in jail for that. But it was a sex cult.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of that shit.
It was like NXS or some shit like that.
And then they cite everybody else, like Dean Cain and fucking... what's his fucking name? Tom Welling, because they were typecasting and shit like that. But those aren't curses. That's the way of Hollywood. Just ask Tobey Maguire. Nobody wanted to see Seabiscuit. Besides, why would you fucking do Seabiscuit right after Spider-Man, you fucking dick? Anyway, we're here to talk about Monsieur George Reeves. No relation to Christopher Reeve, who also played Superman. He was born January 5th, 1914, as George Kiefer Brewster in Woolstock, Iowa. The son of Donald Carl Brewster and Helen Lester, Reeves was born 5 months into their marriage, and the couple separated soon after Reeves' birth. At this time, Reeves and his mother moved from Iowa to Ashland, to stay with relatives for a time. And then her mother, to her mother's home of Galesburg, Illinois. Later, Reeves' mother, who was of German descent, moved to California to stay with her sister. There she had met and married Frank Joseph Besalo by 1927. According to the year's federal census, Reeves' father married Helen Schultz in 1925. Reeves reportedly never saw his father again. In 1927, Frank Busolo adopted George at age 13 as his own son, and the boy took on his stepfather's last name, becoming George Busolo. The Busolo marriage lasted 15 years, ending in divorce, with the couple separating while Reeves was away visiting relatives. When he returned, his mother told him his stepfather had committed suicide. According to biographer Jim Beaver, Reeves did not know for several years that Besalo was still alive. Besalo actually died March 4th, 1944, at the age of 51, when his adopted son, who was well into his movie career. Bro, could you imagine that?
Yeah, his mom's a piece of shit.
His mom, what? I'm sorry, it broke up and then it cut off.
I said his mom's a piece of shit.
A huge piece of shit, bro. Because after that, she said the same thing about his real dad. Like, when he found out that that dude adopted him and he was still alive, he asked about his real father. And she said the same thing, that he committed suicide.
Probably tried to get away from her.
Probably.
That's crazy.
crazy ass bitch. But they had problems in their life. Him and her, like their relationship. While studying acting at the Pasadena Playhouse, Reeves met his future wife, Eleanor Needles. There we go with the name sounded fucking crazy fake. A great-great-granddaughter of circus magnate John Robinson, founder of John Robinson Circus. They married on September 22nd, 1940, at the Church of Our Savior. They had no children and divorced 10 years later. Reeves' film career began in 39 when he was cast as Stuart Thornton, incorrectly listed in the film's credit as Bert Thornton, one of Scarlett O'Hara's suitors in Gone with the Wind. It was a minor role, but he and Fred Kane were in the film's opening scene. Reeves and Crane both dyed their hair red to portray the Thornton twins. After Gone with the Wind was filmed, Reeves returned to the Pasadena Playhouse and was given the lead role to play Pancho. This part directly led to his being contracted to the Warner Brothers. Warner changed his professional name to George Reeves. So back then, I guess they could change your name without you actually giving yourself a pseudonym, which is still fucking crazy.
I mean, this is really the beginning of Hollywood. So a lot of people probably was going under fake names and stage names, aliases and shit.
Right. They probably was like, nobody want to call you Basolo.
Yeah, a lot of
people. A lot of people change what?
I said a lot of people change their names to hide their identity and shit, their ethnicity.
And back then, it was easier to change your identity. Like, you could steal somebody's identity super fucking crazy.
Fast, it's not even really like stealing identity. You could just take on a fake one and nobody's going to check or double check to see if it's real or not.
Yeah.
Right. Nowadays, there's too many. I mean, it's possible, but it's way harder. Like, I didn't become Jason Melendez easily.
If you do that, you're going to need some government help.
Or a really good fucking hacker.
More than likely, he's going to be a really good fucking hacker.
He starred in a number of two real short subjects and appeared in several B pictures, including with future president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, and three with James Cagney. These roles did little to advance Reeves' career, and his contract with Warner was dissolved by mutual consent. Released from his Warner contract, he signed a contract with a 20th Century Fox, but was released only after a handful of films, one of which was the Charlie Chan movie, Dead Men Tell. 20th Century Fox loaned him to producer Alex Korda to star with the Merle Oberon and Lydia. A box office failure, after which he freelanced, looking to find work in westerns. His friend Teddy Sherman introduced him to her father, producer Harry Sherman, who asked Reeves to do a screen test for Teddy for the Hopalong Cassidy films. Reeves and Sherman impressed the casting director by performing several pages of the script in a single take without pause. Reeves appeared in five Hopalong Cassidy westerns before being cast as Lieutenant John Summers opposite Claudette Colbert in So Proudly We Hail, a war drama for Paramount Pictures, which signed Reeves up for two films later in the year. So he did a bunch of shit. Like, those are pretty notable movies. I never seen any of them, but growing up, you heard most of those names, especially fucking Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, fuck all those movies.
Yeah, I mean, fuck them, but still.
Movies are fucking
like,
trash.
He was in a lot of shit. Like, Hopalong Cassidy movies, you heard about that shit growing up, too. However, Reeves was inspired by So Proudly We Hail to put his budding acting career on hold and enlist in the U.S. Army. He was drafted in early 1943. And he was assigned to the U.S. Army Air Force and performed in the U.S. AAF's Broadway run, followed by a national tour and movie version.
Facts. I seen it.
Where the fuck was I?
I seen two before.
Movie Division, right? That's where I was. What if?
Booby Division.
He was transferred from Air Force to the first motion picture unit where he made training films. So he became fucking Captain America in that first fucking movie. Went from fighting into the war, to doing fucking USO movies. Dre, would you ever have done any of those movies?
What?
Would you ever have done any of those movies if they told you to do them?
What are you talking about?
If they told you.
Hey, Dre, we need you to do some Navy ad video.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Now, they already got actors that they.
Some propaganda.
Like, they get some people for commercials and stuff like that. I know, but they never choose me.
Honestly, if they ever do a Black Iron Man, it better still be the same person.
Black Iron Man? What?
Fuck, what's his name? Who plays Iron Man? I can't remember his name.
You talking about Don Cheadle?
What? I said Iron Man.
Yeah, but you said Black Iron Man, so I can only assume you're talking about War Machine.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying if they ever decide to make Iron Man like a black man, there's only one person that should play him. And that's the same actor, and I can't remember his name.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, thank you. I don't rank him saying Johnny Depp like a fucking idiot. Yes, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey.
Just make him look like a propaganda reference.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's an excuse to get a reprisal of the role.
But see, they're going to make... Nah, they just need to make a movie about... what's his character?
I mean, I
guess. What's the name of that dude in Tropic Thunder? What's the name of the character he played? Lucius something? Whatever that motherfucker's name is, they need to make a movie about him.
Yeah, because wasn't he really Australian in that movie?
Some shit like that. Yeah, I think so.
That movie was wild. Funny, though. In 51, Reeves was offered the role of Superman in a new television series titled The Adventures of Superman. He was initially reluctant to take the role because, like many actors of his time, he considered television unimportant and believed few would see his work. The half-hour films were shot on tight schedules. At least two shows were made every 6 days. According to the commentaries on The Adventures of Superman, excuse me, multiple scripts were filmed simultaneously to take advantage of the standing sets. For example, all the Perry White's office scenes for 3 or 4 episodes would be shot the same day, and the various apartment scenes would be done consecutively. Reeves' career...
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, but why would you... I mean, back in the day, it was probably because they didn't know how to do it. You know what I mean? Because nowadays, I can see them doing like 1 or 2 episodes in its entirety in a day and putting it out for like the next 2 weeks and then doing the same thing. But I don't see them unless it was a movie.
They were pulling a South Park. That's how they were doing it. Except they were trying to pull a South Park. Like by the end of the week, they're just going to make a whole bunch of episodes at the same time, except with South Park, they just focus on one episode, and that's why they're usually good, whereas they're just like, hey, we got 6 days, let's make 6 fucking episodes, let's go.
Right. Right. Which they, I don't know, I've never seen this show, but I expect it to be just as cheesy as any other 70s fucking show.
as terrible as great as they can be, right?
Right. Fuck me. Reeves' career as Superman had begun with Superman and the Mole Men, a film intended both as a B picture and a pilot for the TV series. Immediately after completing it, Reeves and the crew began production of the first season's episodes. all shot over 13 weeks in the summer of 1951. The series went on to air the following year, and Reeves was amazed at becoming a national celebrity. In 1952, the struggling ABC network purchased the show for national broadcast, which gave him greater visibility and probably the only time Disney owned the rights to Superman.
Damn.
Superman cast members had restrictive contracts preventing them from taking other work, which is on par for
I get now. It, but at the same time, like, people need to be able to, like, disassociate from fake things.
Oh my God, you mean the person who's playing Captain America is playing a role where he was a villain? We can't have that.
He's a fucking actor. Let him act, dick. All the roles that were robbed of because of deals like that, where an actor can't do anything but what they are, that one character for 10 years or whatever it is, because it takes 2 years to make a fucking movie, like, it's annoying. That's why after the end of those deals, they don't usually sign back on, because it's like, well, let me fucking act. Can I make something else? Can I be a dick?
You want the star of your franchise to be readily available whenever you need them. That's why you choose to pay them the amount you choose to pay them for an exclusive contract.
Nah, I feel like it's sloppy and lazy. It's just trying to make sure that nobody else makes anything better to draw away from the potential star power that you have of that hot ticket. It's just a marketing move. They're preventing them from making good work because they don't want to lose out on what they paid for your star power. So if your star power is being used in other places, then they're not getting their product. It's a bunch of bullshit. Anyway, whatever.
'Tis the way of life, though, you know?
No, this is the way of a bullshit machine. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It just is, but I understand what you mean. Life is bullshit at times.
Reeves, however, earned additional income from personal appearances. He had affection for his young fans and took his role model status very seriously. He quit smoking cigarettes and kept his private life discreet, including romantic relationships with Tony Manning, wife of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer general manager Eddie Mannix. Now, Eddie Mannix wasn't just a general manager for the movie studio. He was also a fixer who had mob ties.
Interesting.
And Superman was fucking his wife. And right, but it's not like he didn't know she was fucking his wife. I mean, he was fucking his wife. He knew he was fucking his wife. And he would also have dinner with them on occasion.
Oh, so he was a cuck. He was into
pretty
this.
Much, but he had his own date. His own bitch when that shit happened. Oh, they lived in the house together most of the time. Okay. All four of them.
They were like Hollywood married.
It was like
they were Will and Jada before Will and Jada.
Right. But they were super progressive at that time.
I wouldn't say progressive. Okay.
Like the fucking the new generation now with all that polyamory bullshit. But that's dangerous. She was like 10 years his senior and she adored him. She loved the shit out of George Reeves. She bought him shit, a house, most notably, you know, watches, whatever. She was like his sugar mama.
All mob money?
Right.
That's probably why he got killed.
Well, as we'll find out in a few, it wasn't even ruled as a fucking murder.
Sure.
Scroll.
So they say, and your head's blown off in a freaking hotel room, and you know what I mean? It just felt like something.
That wasn't a hotel room. That was his house.
That was his house? Okay. I thought it was a hotel room. It just, I don't know, man.
Regardless of where he was shot.
Yeah, the story is.
Nah, somebody did that shit, bro.
After two seasons, Reeves was dissatisfied with his salary and the show's one-dimensional role. He was 40 years old and wanted to quit and move on with his career. The producers looked elsewhere for a new star. Reeves established his own production company and conceived a TV adventure series called Point of Entry, which would be shot on location in Hawaii and Mexico. Reeves wrote the plot script himself. However, Superman producers offered him a salary increase, and he returned to the series. He was reportedly making $5,000, about $50,000 in today's dollars per week. So $50,000 a week, that's not bad at all. Sign me up.
Word.
But only while the show was in production. As for Point of Entry, Reeves was never able to gain financing for the project, and the show was never made. In 1957, the producers considered a theatrical film, Superman and the Secret Planet. A script was commissioned from David Chandler, who had written many of the TV scripts. In 1959, however, negotiations began for a renewal of the series, with 26 episodes scheduled to go into production by mid-59. Contracts were signed, costumes refitted, and new teleplay writers assigned. Noel Neal was quoted as saying that the cast of Superman was ready to do a new series of the still popular show. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go down a little bit. Reeves and Tony Maddox split in 1958, and Reeves announced his engagement to Society Playgirl Lenore Lemon. Now, Lenore Lemon, she was a party girl.
A socialite.
To say the least. A New York party girl back in the days. She also had mob ties.
Don't they all? So
he's just attracted to these bitches fucking all these mob niggas. All of them. Bad habits.
Yeah, nah, I definitely see why he died.
Right.
Yeah. He got himself killed.
You should have chose smarter, sir.
Yeah.
Reeves was apparently scheduled to marry Lemon on June 19th, and then spend their honeymoon in Tijuana. He complained to friends, columnists, and his mother of his financial problems. The planned revival of Superman was apparently a small lifeline. Reeves had also hoped to direct a low-budget science fiction film written by a friend from his Pasadena Playhouse days, and he had discussed the project with his first Lois Lane, Phyllis Coates. The previous year, however, Reeves and his partner failed to find financing, and the film was never made. Another Superman stage show was scheduled for July, with a planned stage tour of Australia. Reeves had options for making a living, but those options apparently all involved playing Superman again, a role he was not eager to reprise at age 45. So here's where everything gets crazy, right? Reeves died of a gunshot wound to the head in the upstairs bedroom of his home at 1579 Benedict Canyon Drive in Benedict Canyon, between 1:30 and 2 o'clock a.m. on June 16, 1959. According to the Los Angeles Police Department report and contemporary news articles, Lemon attributed Reeves' alleged suicide to depression caused by his failed career and inability to find more work. The report made by the Los Angeles police states Reeves was depressed because he couldn't get the sort of parts he wanted. Newspapers and wire services reported LAPD Sergeant V.P. Patterson as saying, Miss Lemon blurted, he's probably going to go shoot himself. A noise was heard upstairs. She continued, he's opening a drawer. All right, hold on. So they went to a dinner party, right? And they came home dumb late. Like 12, 1 o'clock. And back then, a sign that you were still awake and were ready for company was that you would leave your porch light on. So they got home and she apparently put the porch light on. That prompted some neighbors to come. Two neighbors they knew, One dude they didn't know at all, which I don't understand how you would let somebody in your house that you have no fucking clue who this guy is, right? They're all having drinks. George decides he needs to go to bed because he has to, I believe, do some type of meeting for the new Superman season that's coming out. So he goes upstairs and he comes back down and they are still drinking, partying, and he's pissed off. He threatens to kick them all out, to kick her the fuck out. And he goes back upstairs. This is when she says, oh, he's going to kill himself. And then, you know, no insulation in the walls or floor. So she hears him fidgeting with the nightstand. She goes, yep, he's grabbing the gun. And then they hear the bang. Bah! And that's when she was like, see, he killed himself. And who rushes upstairs? The guy that they don't even know to confirm that he was dead. Wow. So the official story given by Lemon to the police placed her in the living room with party guests at the time of the shooting. By hearsay, statements from Fred Kane, Reeves' friend and colleague from The Gone with the Wind, put Lemon either inside or in direct proximity of the Reeves bedroom. According to Crane, Bill Bliss had told Millicent Trent after the shot rang out while Bliss was having a drink, that Lenore Lemon came downstairs and said, tell them I was down here. Tell them I was down here. A number of questionable physical findings were reported by investigators and others. Just, the shit is bananas. When I first heard about this whole fucking thing. Right. Super, super bananas. Just ask, what's his name? Blake Shelton. He'll tell you. But,
Gwen Stefani.
Right. But that's the reason why Blake Shelton can tell you how bananas it is.
Realize they were married.
That's his wife.
You said you didn't realize they were married?
No, I didn't know that.
So what made you say that?
Smell bananas?
No, what made you say that you didn't realize they were married after you, like, what? Like, how did that thought just come into your head?
I didn't. He just said that. He said Blake Shelton is not her husband. I didn't know that.
Definitely didn't say that. He said to ask Blake Shelton. He alluded to them being together, but he didn't say all of that.
Like, well, that was only... it's the Cazadores. I'm only partially listening here.
Okay. Well, you know who is together.
I'm fully listening. I'm partially comprehending.
Well, you need to fully comprehend and fully listen to our sponsors. I really
mean one of the Cheetah Girls, word.
One of the Cheetah Girls? That's crazy. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about the mysterious death of Superman, George Reeves. And we just got to the supposed.
What the fuck?
There we go.
Shit. I thought Mix didn't have a shirt on. Then he like had a shirt on.
No, no. My Chromebook fell the other day and it's been acting funny now. So I'm really trying to be delicate with this motherfucker because like I got it. It's been with me for like at least 4 or 5 years and I haven't had a new laptop since. So I'm trying to take care of this shit. Other than that, what's popping?
4 or 5 years for a new one.
I was like, yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. Definitely time for a new one, but you know, I'm waiting. I mean, oh shit, Jason.
Those are the Best Buy card, nigga.
Well, send me your credentials.
If you for real, hit me up. I'll hook you up.
I am for real. The last thing that I got close to what a laptop was the HP Surface Pro. And my boy from New York sent that to me.
Surface Pro?
It's like a tablet.
No, that can I know what it is.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's just
I was just clarifying. Work with. They're not bad, but they're not really laptops. They're like a really good hybrid.
Yeah, they're like a tablet more.
No, that's just another device for me to work with. But I need a full on laptop that can do some work.
Word.
So we were just getting to the crazy circumstances surrounding his suicide. So there was a number of questionable physical findings that were reported by investigators and others. No fingerprints were recovered from the gun. No gunpowder residue was found on Reeves' hands. Some sources contend that it may not have been looked for, as gunshot residue testing was not routinely performed in 1959. The bullet that killed Reeves was removed from the bedroom ceiling, and the spent shell casing was found underneath his body. Two additional bullets were discovered embedded in the bedroom floor. All three bullets had been fired from the weapon found at Reeves' feet, though all witnesses agreed they had heard only one gunshot, and there was no sign of forced entry on other physical evidence that suggests a second person was in the room. Despite the unanswered questions, Reeves' death was officially ruled a suicide based on witness statements, physical evidence at the scene, and the autopsy report. Now, what they're not saying is that, first of all, the people that came for the body wasn't even the coroner's office. It was a fucking funeral home, which is unheard of.
This is clearly a mob hit, bro. Like, there's no question in my mind. The mafia, whoever he was sleeping with, whoever was spending money on him.
Yeah.
We're sick of this guy. We got to get him out of here.
Mm-hmm. They got to get rid of him. Never to be seen again. Right. Like, there ain't no way you're going to kill yourself and then that shit happens. I'm like, nah.
But the body was never autopsied, and it was clean. And on top of that, they sewed the wounds up and didn't even report the fucking bruises.
Damn.
So as for his death itself, right? He was said to have committed suicide, right? The gun should have been cocked to the right temple, because that's where the shot rang out or went through, right? The right temple. But it went through it was in the ceiling diagonally. So he would have had to have his head cocked like this and his body cocked like this for the bullet trajectory to be how it was. Now, if he did pull the trigger like that, the gun would have fell at his feet, but so would he. You know right. What I mean?
He leaning would forward like that, yeah.
He wouldn't have fell backwards. And the fucking shell casing would not have been underneath. two more bullet holes were found on the floor next to where he died. And his, let me see if they put it on here first. Before I
get ahead of this fucking crazy. I mean, if Kirk can do it, why can't he?
Homeboys. Yeah, what were you saying, Talon?
I said, if Kirk can do it, why can't he?
Kobe?
Because we know he didn't do it. So yeah, of course.
Maybe the gun of choice wasn't as strong as Kurt's.
No, it was still involving the woman.
I mean, a shotgun.
Reeves' mother thought the ruling was premature and preemptory, and retained attorney Jerry Geisler to petition for a reinvestigation of the case. Now, Jerry Geisler was famously a mob attorney.
More connections?
Early career. Yeah, famous, no, it wasn't us. It was the broad. The broad did it, not us.
It gets better and better.
But he had a lot of fucking people that he fucking...
They talked about this killing, this hit on the Sopranos, didn't they?
The hit of Superman?
Yeah, I think it was in like season 5 or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't know. You might be right.
But Geisler, Mr. Geisler, I knew he sounded familiar because we mentioned him before, because he also won the acquittal for Lily St. Cyr, Charlie Chaplin, and gangster Bugsy Siegel. So where was I? Bow, Geisler. Geisler petitioned for the reinvestigation of the case as a possible homicide. The findings of the second autopsy conducted at Geisler's request were the same as the first, except for a series of bruises of unknown origin about the head and body. A month later, having uncovered no evidence conducting the federal finding, Geisler announced that he was satisfied that with the gunshot wound being self-inflicted, and he withdrew. From some of the stuff that I heard and read, it said that Geisler was approached and coerced to pull out of the case. Actors Alan Ladd and Gigi Young were reportedly skeptical of the official determination. Reeves' friend Roy Calhoun told a reporter, "No one in Hollywood believed the suicide story." In their book, Hollywood Kryptonite, Sam Kushner and Nancy Strongberger make a case for the involvement of MGM vice president and fixer Eddie Mannix. Reeves had been having an affair with his wife, Toni Mannix, and suggested that Eddie Mannix, rumored to have mafia ties, ordered Reeves to be killed due to the heartbreak of his wife. In pop culture, the 2006 film Hollywoodland, starring Ben Affleck as Reeves and Adrian Brody as a fictional investigator, loosely based on actual detective Milos
Stan Papalopoulos.
Yeah, there we go. Well, let's go with that because fuck his last name. Dramatizes the investigation of Reeves' death. The film suggests three possible scenarios. Accidental shooting by Lemon. Murder by an unnamed hitman under orders of Eddie Mannix. And suicide. In June 2001, an episode of the internet series BuzzFeed Unsolved discussed the death of Reeves as Reeves and possible theories. The same theories, and that is the video in which I played for you guys before we started this episode. Now, I just want to touch on those scenarios real quick. The one I want to touch on first is the one that you guys all think plausible.
plausible, and that's the murder by an unnamed hitman under the orders of Eddie Mannix. Now, when and was this? Uis tomatoes. Thank you, baby. I love tomatoes. And you grew these tomatoes. These are good.
Oh, tomate burros.
Fuck, that's a good tomato. Where was I? All right.
Did it taste like a fruit?
Bro, I don't understand what she did or what soil she used for it, but...
It's manure, bro. It's the shit.
They're like sweet fucking tomatoes somehow.
That's just, and they never grew
like that before.
No, tomatoes should be sweet.
You never had a tomato before? That sucks.
You don't think strawberries are supposed to be tart, do you?
Right?
All right, fuck yeah. All right, they think that somebody might have snuck in while they were being Lemon was being entertained in the living room by these people, the neighbors and the dude she didn't know. Which is why the guy she didn't know was the one to go upstairs to confirm the death, because he's the one that let the killer out initially.
Like, what do you do? Just tell him, oh, don't worry about it. I'll go check on that noise. Don't worry about it.
Why wouldn't you go check on your husband? You know what I mean?
Okay. Because it was back in the day, and then she was just like, well, a man told me no, so.
But you said the one dude that you don't even know?
Right, because he's a man. Because she doesn't care. That was the way society was. You just trust the man because he wouldn't be an evil man. Nah, he's going to be an upstanding gentleman. Bro, coming to your home at 1 a.m. in the morning, even though you don't really know him like that.
The nigga went upstairs, came downstairs and said, my friend's dead. My friend killed himself. Like, you don't even know him, though.
What were those two other shots, though?
So, Lemon told authorities that a couple of days prior, she'd been fucking with the gun, and she shot through the floor. And it just so happened to be in the same vicinity of the bed, and it kind of matched the angle of where the bullet
went. Sure. Bullet went.
Yeah. Very.
You guys ever seen Mouse Hunt? Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
This wasn't a suicide. Please, somebody killed him. Suicide is not going to have this many barriers.
Is it mouses?
It sounds like a game of Clue, though.
Shout out to that movie. For a movie based off of a fucking board game like Clue, that's a good movie.
Never seen it.
Really? You definitely got to give it a watch. It's one of Tim Curry's best performances, and it's got a good good cast, and it incorporates multiple endings because it's Clue.
Now, suicide, people seem to throw that out there because of what it was meant to look like, which they failed miserably. And what they said it was, but why would a man commit suicide when he has everything going for him? Yes, he was tired of playing Superman and being typecasted as the superhero. However, he had roles coming up. Like, he was going to be the detective in Psycho, the first Psycho movie.
The one with the chocolate syrup.
Yeah, that one. I don't really think the suicide one was super plausible, seeing as how if people kill themselves, they don't normally strip butt-ass naked to do so. The trajectory of the bullet doesn't match. Why would you cock your head in a certain way and put the gun to your temple and shoot?
the way the bullet was lodged in the fucking thing alone.
Because you don't want to look at how shameful your action is. You want to be somewhere else.
Bro, I feel like all the above was possibly the ruling for his death, to be honest with you. My theory is they both kind of Miss Lemon and Miss Tony Mannix both did it.
What do you mean they both did it? Like they set him up?
They both held the gun at the same time.
Right. No.
Teamwork.
She
wait, look at the
women's lid.
I would say Tony Mannix reached out.
We did
touched Lemon. You know what I mean?
No.
Had her do that it. Patriarchy.
No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
With mob influence, had her perform the murder, but not in the way people think. Not she didn't go upstairs and buck him. She shot him through the living room.
Hell no! That's
with a Luger.
Wait, hold on. You think she shot him from a completely different room?
She shot him through the. This bitch got fucking psychic powers.
Those bullet holes that came through the floor were right by where he died. The trajectory would have matched.
And they shot
the bullet casing in the ceiling.
I don't know about that one, man.
That one of them.
That's actually not quite possible.
It's quite possible.
Not with the caliber of that gun, I don't think. Not through the ceiling and the floor.
I can't think of any gun that you could
shoot. How not?
If she did it.
She did it days prior. And there was already evidence of it written into the fucking reports.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, man.
Yeah, that I'm not rolling.
She shot that motherfucker from the living room because the holes matched exactly where she was sitting.
She shot the holes days prior so she could just fucking skill shot through it.
Yeah. And hit him in the
right side of the head. Right, so she could practice. She heard that
motherfucker. She fucking did some hitman shit.
Yes, she did. She opened up. He opened up the drawer, which indicated he was in the right vicinity for her to pull the trigger. She pulled the fucking trigger. He fucking died. She went upstairs with the dude that wasn't supposed to be there, who was more than likely hired by Tony Mannix. Cleaned up the mess. Stripped the butt naked. He was just
there to see whether or not she could be a cleaner.
Put the shell casing in the back of him. Called the police. They all went back downstairs to have a nightcap and wait for the...
That was a great job, Lemon. We're going to send you to New York. You're going to do big things now. Big things. You pleased the Don.
I'll see you next.
Right. She made the family proud.
She did. But...
You can now say that you're a Goomba. Congratulations.
Neglected to mention... Was that
here is your cordial gabagool and your Goomba card? Good for any free pierogies and sandwiches wherever you go.
My man, George Reeves, got $4,000 worth of traveler's checks ready for his honeymoon the following
week. That's like a few grand, 30 grand? Because you were saying like $5,000 a week was like 50, right?
What nowadays?
Inflation adjusted, right?
$23,000.
That's not bad.
So she took the $23,000 the same day that he died and she booked it. She was never seen in New York again.
In New York or LA?
New York, LA. I think she went to New York and was never seen in LA again. Or right, vice versa.
Because she started working for the family. She was protected after that.
This man.
She transitioned and became the Iceman.
No matter what your theory is surrounding it. What the fuck do y'all think happened over there?
I think the man died for sure.
Yeah, he definitely got his muffin killed back.
Yeah, he got snuffed out like a motherfucker. But I think what they did was they also, like, they had, he didn't get shot through a wall or something. They just probably added those extra little touches to, you know, make it look more like something happened, man. Like, it's hard to say it because it went from being thought of as a fucking suicide. And now, like I said, all these variables are all coming to play. Somebody fucked his shit up and they covered it up. He's never to be seen again. So.
Did he have panda eyes?
Yeah. I agree with Migs.
If another, and it's crazy too, because y'all are talking about the curse thing that happened. If another actor, God forbid, you know what I mean, that would ever happen. But if it happened,
are you trying to curse Henry Cavill?
I ain't trying to curse nobody, all right? You stop your shit right now. But I'm just saying, like, if for some reason another character of Superman were to die, not in a similar way per se, but still, then I would believe more in the curse. Because the curse, I barely even heard anything.
Bro, so you're telling me somebody
how the person
had to get killed by the mob with a curse?
I mean, the mob is no longer around. If they were still
that's
around,
not true at all. That is not true at all.
I'm telling you right now.
The only thing that we read today that convinced me there was
a Superman curse was Christopher fucking Reeve.
What?
Superman what? Chris?
Falling off what? The horse, getting paralyzed. Christopher Reeve. He's the one that convinced
event.
Me there was that a Superman
That is one
curse.
Event.
No, it's two events because his wife fucking died of lung cancer without being a smoker soon after he died.
Okay.
How the fuck?
Bro, that sounds like a curse to me.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. It just.
There is secondhand smoke.
I'd like to know what her medical bill actually said.
What do you mean? As it pertains to her death?
What were her proclivities? Did she have other signs of things? Like, what if it just went ignored? You know, there's different exposures you can get. You remember when they let women just lick fucking uranium for watches?
Right.
What?
What the fuck? Yeah, exactly. What? You need to start listening to those fucking podcasts, bro. The Radium Girls. That was a whole time where they were just like, we're fucking dope. We're making shit for the country. Licking radium. Like, all day. Licking radium. And just painting watches so it'd be glow in the dark. And then later on, they get, well, you know.
We call
lots of terrible things.
We call them Homer sticks around these parts.
I'm telling you, American history is so much more interesting than what they want to teach you.
Yeah, because it'll make everybody here rebel and actually.
No, not just that. It's just that it's not as romantic as they want you to think it is at all.
If we actually use the Declaration of Independence how it was intended, bro, government would be in trouble.
So, you know, fuck that.
I mean, we're listed as the sovereign of the nation, but people don't even know what sovereign means, so it kind of is a lot of issues.
Yeah.
What was that?
Huh?
I don't want to say it again when you get the episode cut off.
No, I thought Jazz was whispering in the background.
Oh,
where you at, Jazz? We can see only a piece of you. You know you're there.
Now she talking shit. She's not even on camera, huh?
How you come talk that shit, Jazz? I'm ready to go.
What's playing
Latina now? I can fight with y'all kind now.
Don't act like you're trying to save electricity by not logging in.
With your kind.
What the fuck has got this loud? What the fuck?
What do you
is
mean, you people?
Jasmine, feeling good this week.
This nigga on. Oh, it's a little fucking group of mini bike people. That's a bunch of ne'er do wells.
What? Mini bike people?
Yeah, ain't nobody riding on a mini bike at nighttime and they're not likely going to do something. Fuck.
Bro, it's Cinco de Mayo. You live in California. And the
I know where the fuck I'm like is. I know so, where I'm is. I guess that is a normal motorcycle for some people, isn't it?
Right. They're like 5'4 and shit.
My man about to turn up. Like, don't you be talking shit about where I live. But yeah, you're right, though, on the road.
Nah, but for real though, until you live here, like once you come here or you visit for like a whole summer and see some of California, you could talk shit because you understand why it's also great. But until then, I don't want to hear that shit. Especially if niggas come from New York, like what the fuck? La ciudad de sucia. See,
so bro, I need you to spend 6 months in New York.
Like, if I could afford it, maybe I would. Fuck that.
You could shut up. If you could live in California, you could live in New York.
Word. I wouldn't want to. I like my car. I'm not gonna pay that my car up there or sell my car. I like this motherfucker. I just bought this bitch.
Right. You says people that were born in a place named Dirty Fucking Water.
Wow. Not me. I wasn't born there, nigga.
you'll see money living in New York.
I was born in Cali, bitch.
Y'all grew up there, though.
Yeah, I did grow up in CT.
Grew up in the dirty.
Well, you know, water. I grew up in Connecticut when it wasn't apparently horrendous to be there.
Stay away
from it. It wasn't no golden age.
Love yourself.
The mom is legit now. You didn't know they own most gas